Good afternoon. It is 1:30 p.m., April 5, 2022, and time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 2815, we are holding meetings remotely. I have in the meeting with me this afternoon Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioner Sydney Logan, Secretary, Ann Spangler, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off your camera on your devices when not speaking. I will ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate you would like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if you're joining us by phone, dial *9, and attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, do we have any items to be added to this afternoon's agenda?
I have none.
I have none either.
I would like to add under agenda items 6, a 6C, with a couple of follow-up items I have from our morning session. Allison, did you catch that I'm adding a 6C?
I did, thank you.
All right, thank you. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. This afternoon, comments from the public will be agenda item 3 on the agenda, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not on this afternoon's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second with the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. I'll now move on to agenda item 2, which is safety recognition for outstanding contribution to the contact tracing and COVID testing teams. I will introduce Derek Herman, who will present the teams to us.
All right.
Good afternoon, Jerry.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner Olson, and good afternoon to all commissioners and everybody. It's great to be here. My name is Derek Herman, Senior Manager of Customer Service. I'm representing Pam Bailey today. She's on spring break, so I get the honor of introducing this recognition, which I'm very excited to do. So this is the safety recognition for outstanding contribution, we are referring to it. And this is for two groups from within our team PUD, the contact tracing team and the COVID testing team as well. And in your packets, I believe, are the full lists of all the team members for both contact tracing and COVID testing. I'm happy to read that out for you as well. Also, I think many of the team members are on the call with us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'd invite them to turn their cameras on and join this discussion, or at least let us see your lovely faces.
Yeah, let's turn the cameras on and keep the mics off until they would like to make a comment. Great. Please proceed.
Thank you. Okay, so this recognition includes announcement at today's commission meeting. Also during April's management employee safety meeting, there's gonna be another announcement and a dedicated highlights article as well.
Wonderful.
And additionally, all of these members will receive a certificate of outstanding contribution, which is signed by John and safety manager, Rob Beidler. And just as a small way to say thank you, we're including a Starbucks gift card in that as well as a part of the recognition. So a little background on this. This is a grassroots effort really to recognize these two groups for the exceptional work that they did, not only to stand up these programs, which are really important, but also the fact that they did so with the utmost kindness and care for their fellow team members at Team PUD. As a large part of my job, I focus on external customer experience and focusing on delivering excellence in that way. And that's what I observed. And a lot of us that were involved in recognizing these employees was recognizing and going out of their way to make that customer, or in this case, employee experience, top notch. And I would say even especially easy and comfortable for everyone involved, which was a difficult matter considering the contact tracing and COVID testing elements that were involved. So challenges like contracting, logistics, certainly diversity of opinions, and many other matters at every step of the way, they remained positive, caring, and most importantly, contributed to a safer work environment for all of us. And so I just wanted to say thank you to the teams and just start off this recognition and hand it over to Allison for some additional comments.
Thank you, Derek. Allison Jebb, I'm the Human Resources Director here at Snohomish PUD. And I think Derek has done a great job of just sort of outlining everything that this team has done. You can see there are so many people involved. And if you know anything about where these folks sit on teams, we've got human resources, we've got communications, we've got legal, we've got contracts and purchasing, warehouse. We've got really every group that you can think of has some hand in this in some way. So the first part about this that I'm really excited about is it was such a cross-functional team of people that came together for both the contact tracing part and the COVID testing. That's just an amazing feat in and of itself. But they also had to navigate this world that was completely undefined. There's no like, oh, we'll just go look this up and see how we do contact tracing. There's no book on how do we implement very quickly a testing program in an organization with a lot of questions and unrest that were going on. So this was not, everybody's just high-fiving each other, looking forward to doing all of this. They had to go through some challenges as well from a change management standpoint. So that has been challenging for them and did an amazing job with it. And then just a shout out to the folks who worked diligently, daily, sometimes many times a day, working with our IBEW partners, because a lot of these things had to be negotiated and worked out. And really, we collaborated with the IBEW and with represented members on how to do this in the best possible way. It's an amazing feat to think about what they have done. And I will share with you, I am on a number of forums, especially going through COVID. A lot of us reached out to our partners in other utilities and other areas. And time and again, what we heard is just amazement at how well our PUD was advancing things that were quite challenging. And we were doing it ahead of many, many others. Just an amazing thing to think about what they accomplished. Again, with no roadmap, and that it was constantly changing. So I couldn't be more proud of them. I couldn't be more appreciative of them. And just to kind of, speak a little bit more to what Derek said as far as how people feel in this process, it is really challenging to have difficult conversations with people around, you have to stay home. What's going to happen to my family member? I'm worried about their health. It's very hard. And these people did it sometimes 24/7 on the contact tracing side. And then the same on the testing, just answering questions, trying to calm people's fears and reassure them. So that is really who we are. That's what distinguishes our culture. And I think we couldn't have had a better group of people really take this home and deliver it for our employees and really for our community. So thank you all. I really appreciate what you've done and super, super proud. And I'm going to hand it over now to Rob Beidler.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Hi, Commissioner Olson. So I could reiterate everything that was just said, all true. I'll give you a little insight. This team, so, you know, in my years, I've been on a lot of groups that were given a lot of very tough tasks and difficult things to accomplish. This was unbelievably hard for this group. We had, number one, COVID, and it's so polarizing that testing or staying home or contact tracing, you name it, everybody has an opinion. You know, everybody's a scientist now. And there's no possible way to not make some of people happy and some people sad or angry, no matter what. And this team knew it on day one, both teams. And we're giving unbelievably difficult timelines, task set, things that we have never done before, contracts we've never tried to do. So even something that you don't see coming down the railroad tracks, like vendors. Suddenly we have hundreds of vendors. We're going to hold to the same standards that we hold our employees to. And that was difficult. And we knew that we would have challenges. And in the end, everybody, and you also remember this team in of itself, as professional as they are, all also have their own opinions. And they were from way over here to way over here. Okay. And everybody put it aside, accomplished the task, something to be unbelievably proud of. I know that they kept people healthy. I know they did. Really proud of them. And I'm going to reiterate one thing that Allison said, and then I'll pass it off, that I started getting calls as soon as we implemented from other organizations asking for help. Please help us do this. Give us advice. Whether it was with their labor groups, with vendors, with negotiations, you name it, because they were really, really struggling. And I could point them to one of the experts on our team for any question that they had. It was magic. So I'm proud of you all.
Oh. Do we have any members of the team that would like to make a comment? And since I can't see you all, just pop on. Come on, somebody's got to make a comment here. How much you enjoyed.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
So John wasn't able to be here this afternoon. He's doing a presentation back on the East Coast, but he did ask me to express his sincere appreciation to all of you and for all the hard work that you've done. So thank you on behalf of John. For myself, as a member of the COT team and the leadership team, I want to say thank you, because I saw the hard work and the hours and everything Allison and Rob and Derek said go into this. And if it wasn't for all of you the last 2 years helping our employees stay safe, it would have been a tougher 2 years than what it was. So I want to say thank you. And your hard work doesn't go unnoticed, for sure. So thank you.
Commissioners?
I just, all of you are heroes for me. Your public service, your servant leadership, you're all serving, and yet you're leaders. I mean, it's a complicated business. If there was time, but there isn't, I'd love to know how you did contact tracing. It must have been like being a kind of an investigative reporter or something. I don't know. It might have been kind of fascinating, but hard work. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Well, first off, I'd like to say I'm thrilled that we're recognizing teams. We're all about team, and today we get to do two teams. It's wonderful to recognize individuals, but I'm thrilled that we're recognizing teams. You know, wow, what a big lift. You know, we're all aware of the big lift that IT made, and this is the same kind of big lift to figure all this out on the fly. And then not only that, you know, IT wasn't controversial. We all knew we needed means of working remotely. This year embroiled right in probably the most challenging thing we faced as a society, maybe in my lifetime, most controversial thing. So, you know, congratulations for getting through it, for doing it for all the employees, to make the employees safer. So I'm just thrilled that we're recognizing you here today.
I ditto for Commissioner Olson. I just must say, when I first read this in the packet, I had no idea the scope. You know, you're getting the job done, but this is phenomenal. I had no idea of the scope and effort that it took to run these programs. Mm-hmm. And particularly, I want to follow up with what Commissioner Logan said. I am so proud of our employees. This is a sticky situation. We all have opinions, but what I'm seeing and what the result was, we were able to put those aside and focus on getting the job done. And that to me is an example of the caliber of employees we have here at the utility. So do we have any other comments? Everybody's being quiet.
I'll go ahead and I'll comment. This is Sharon Rain and Commissioner
Hi,
Olson.
Sharon.
It's been a while because I've been contact tracing and doing testing. I just want to put out there, I worked with both of these teams. I could not be any prouder in my long tenure here of 26 plus years. I don't know of any other time at the district that we've been tasked for with what we just went through in the last 2 years. And just the resilience, the teamwork. I was always proud to work for the PUD and proud to work with my coworkers, but I mean, that's gone on steroids in the past 2 years. So just really, it's great to see the district recognizing the two teams. They work so hard. There may be some people out there that may not feel the same way about our two teams, right? But really appreciate the recognition.
Thank you, Sharon. Hearing no other comments, we will move on to agenda item 3 this afternoon. Comments from the public. Again, these are comments that are items that are not on this afternoon's agenda. Do we have anyone, Allison, in the queue?
We do, Commissioner Olson. We have James Deal.
Good afternoon, Mr. Deal.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I've spoken to you many times about the smart meter fraud. So I won't talk about that. I'll talk about another fraud. And I worked on this for many years with the city of Everett because we put toxic waste in our drinking water. We call it fluoride, but it's fluoride plus lead, plus arsenic, plus cadmium, plus a dozen other filthy metals and toxic poisons. And I've done the calculations, and you can find them if you go to fluorideclassaction.com with dashes between the words. And what you'll find is that the number of atoms of lead added to Everett drinking water through fluoridation is 3 trillion atoms of lead in every liter of your drinking water. Now, Avogadro's number is a big number, but 3 trillion atoms of lead in every glass of your water is a large number. So I made numerous presentations to the city of Everett, trying to talk sense to them, but there was no getting through their thick skulls because some people had come from the outside and somehow managed to hypnotize them and convince them that this was a great thing for teeth. Well, it doesn't really help the teeth, but what it does is it has adverse reactions on the brain, reproduction, abnormal births, and dental fluorosis, which is fluorosis of all the bones. So an old person breaks her hip and falls down. No, I didn't say she fell down and broke her hip. She breaks her hip and falls down because this toxic waste accumulates in your bones. You can't get rid of it. But try to talk some sense into the city of Everett about wasting all this money putting toxic waste in their drinking water. Wow, it's amazing how people fall for scams. And you have fallen for a scam. Smart meters are a scam. And you've listened only to scammers. Commissioner Wolf said, let's have open hearings. No, we're not going to have any open hearings. We're not going to hear from anybody who opposes this fraud. So two of the commissioners have voted for it, including Commissioner Olson, who has said she would never vote for anything that would raise the rates. Guaranteed this is going to raise your rates because they're always on. They're always broadcasting. And then we had a witness who came and said, well, it's not any worse than cell phones. Well, it's just going to increase the amount of microwave radiation that's going to surround us all. 500,000 radios broadcasting constantly. So if you can afford it, you can buy a whole house filter, or you can get a filter, a pitcher filter. The Brita filters don't take out the toxic waste. So most of the people are either cooking with this water or they buy water. Why should you have to buy water? It should come out of the pipes and be clean. But no, we now have, because it's all the big cities, almost all the big cities are doing it. Portland had a big fight over it and managed to prevent it. But the dentists are all brainwashed about this. We could have self-reporting, just set up a website. People report their own readings. You don't need to spend $90 million that you could spend better some other way. Thank you so much for listening. I don't have much hope that you're going to change your minds.
Commissioner Olson, you're at your 5-minute mark.
Thank you, Mr. Deal.
I ask you to rethink this issue and not be suckers.
Thank you, Mr. Deal.
Otherwise, I think you're a nice bunch of people. I really appreciate you, but you made a big mistake.
Thank you. Let's move on to our consent agenda, which is agenda item 4. 4A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of March 22, 2022. Bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. Consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
I have a couple of questions about a couple of the contracts.
That is a 4B. Please ask your questions, Commissioner.
Okay, so am I out of order here? I'm sorry. Okay, I'm curious to know. So as a matter of, because I'm ignorant about this, on these cooperative purchase agreements, when we we can purchase from a contract entered into by another public agency. Do we ever know, do we know what the other public agencies are, just as a matter of information?
Yes, we do. We identify that on the item. You can see, for example, on the harness group for the Caterpillar backhoe. The third line down under the contracts header where it says Sourcewell contract. Sourcewell is a cooperative from Minnesota. It started in Minnesota, but it's now government agencies all over the country who did these cooperatively and provide them to all of the other public agencies.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you. I didn't know how that works. So Sourcewell is not itself a public agency.
It is, in fact, a public agency.
Oh, yes. It is. It is a public agency. Okay. And so we have also Modern Machinery, And let's see, Sourcewell again. Okay, correct. Well, I did not understand that. So thank you, Clark.
You're welcome.
And this is Commissioner Olson, just another comment, except in the current supply chain environment, the utility pays considerably less using this opportunity, right?
That's correct. If you think about how many of these pieces of equipment we might buy just for our utility versus how many other government agencies across the country buy them, We're really leveraging a much larger volume and lower pricing based on that than we could if we bought them on our own.
So in a way, it's like a co-op purchasing co-op.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you. I think I get it. Thank you.
Commissioner Logan, do you have any comments?
No, just a comment. You know, when I work for a school district, these cooperatives were really critical because districts are small and, you know, the state of Washington does contracts. And so copiers, those kinds of things, King County Director Association. So very, very great opportunity for public agencies to make use of these contracts.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any public that would like to comment on our consent agenda? Allison?
I do not see any hands raised, Commissioner Olson.
All right.
Well, may I ask one other? I'm sorry. I do have a question it's about some of the items that we're contracting for. I'm just interested to know, if you go to page 44 where the new contracts are listed, so glue lamp poles, it might sound like I'm really getting into the weeds, but I'm really interested to understand this. Are those the utility poles that we use for, you know, for electrical wires and other equipment? Glue lamp?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And how many for 143,000, you know, almost 144. I did want to ask that in the future, if you could also include how many of these things are included, that would be, I think, helpful.
Absolutely. I apologize. I don't have that information right off the top of my head.
But that's
we will make sure to include it in future updates.
For example, steel poles from TAPS. It doesn't say how many and all of that. So, and then attenuator trucks from Royal Truck, trucks, plural. It doesn't say how many trucks. Maybe there are only two, maybe, I don't know. I'm just kind of interested in those kinds of things. And so let's see, I think that's my request. Thank you, Clark.
Hearing no further questions, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Aye.
Aye.
Let's move on to our agenda item 5, CEO General Manager Report. Melissa, do we have any items this afternoon?
We do. Just a couple quick items for you. one of them from distribution and engineering, a couple big accomplishments in operations. Recently, district crews completed a large 4-week-long distribution job in Monroe, which the crews worked safely and also completed the job under the estimated time, which saved district time and money. District crews are on schedule installing all the poles for ConnectUp while enhancing customer experience, utilizing improved scheduling process to build customer jobs in faster turnaround times. In power rates and transmission, the generation department completed its longest ever and most complex shutdown of the Henry Jackson Hydroelectric Project on Thursday, March 31st. The shutdown was planned around a required 2020 condition assessment inspection of the new rock tunnel for the water temperature conditioning system at Kulmbach Dam, but was delayed for 2 years to avoid risk of COVID transmission. That tunnel inspection and a concurrent inspection of the 3.8-mile power tunnel indicate that both tunnels are sound. During the power tunnel inspection, the new fiber optic cable system installed in 2018 was confirmed to be damaged beyond repair. Generation, Major Yard, and Monroe line crews quickly teamed up to remove the cable and sheath in a single day. Generation leadership also used the shutdown as an opportunity to have contract crews rebuild four large isolation valves and a large pressure reducing valve and rewrap deteriorated work inside the generator housings, while generation crews rebuilt, replaced air valves on the power penstock and completed wiring for control systems at Kalmbach Dam. Substation maintenance performed major maintenance and repairs in the Jackson switchyard, and telecom and IT continued their cutover of communication and data systems in preparation for the upcoming Jackson Powerhouse tenant improvements. Safety and environmental affairs also provided vital support. Countless other tasks were also completed, and the Jackson project is now back online with a refreshed level of integrity and reliability. And that's all I have for today.
Commissioners, do you have any comments or questions on the report?
Sounds like great performance.
Great, we were able to get that work completed.
Mm-hmm. And getting the unit back online. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to agenda item 6, commission business, 6A, commission reports. Do we have any reports, commissioners?
I don't have anything special to report.
Let's move on to agenda item 6B, which is our commissioner events calendar. Let's take a close look at that to make sure that commissioners have communicated with the clerk's office to make sure that if we are interested in attending something, that make sure that we record it on our events calendar.
Commissioner.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I will be representing RPD at Arbor Day on April 13th.
Thank you, Commissioner. I wasn't available, so I appreciate that.
Well, I'm happy to do it. I love Earth Day, you know, events, and this is kind of tied into Earth Day, and it's good. I love getting outdoors, so thank you for making it possible. Thank you.
Excuse me, go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm sorry. It's one of the challenges with digital is we can't tell when the other's going to talk.
Well, we could raise our hand, I guess, but I can't multitask.
I was just going to say that in May, we have our first live PPC and PNUC meeting in Portland. Mm-hmm. And so I was hoping to go. I know we budgeted for two of us to go, but we budgeted monthly. So I don't know what others are thinking, if you're thinking about going or not going.
Well, I had to cancel my hopes and dreams of going to Coeur d'Alene because I'm going to have eye surgery on May 9th and 23rd, just getting old. And I'll be able to see better after I get those done. But I didn't think it would be a good time to be traveling, although I really wanted to go to the NWPPA. But I see that Commissioner Logan is going to represent us, so I hope that goes well for you. Have fun.
Thank you.
Coeur d'Alene is great.
I have an Energy Northwest meeting there also.
We really never came to a consensus, or maybe we can't come... because we have now a combination of virtual meetings, in-person meetings, and commissioners are kind of all over the place in terms of committing that they will do in person, or even if it's not virtual. So I think that it is important for us to clarify early on if virtual is available, if that's a way we're going to participate, or if we are going to those in person. Because I don't think that we have a hard and fast rule, but it's important that the clerks know early on, as early as possible, what we're doing. And also, that can wait for later. Anything more for our events calendar?
Can I go back? I guess it's further business. I wanted to mention a report that I printed and read, and it's from NASDAQ. It's from the Risk Assistance Network and Exchange on Cybersecurity, and it's a survey of boards all over the US. And it's really quite interesting, and I wanted to recommend it to you. You can read it on when you get ready to log into your NASDAQ board book. There's a reference to it there, and you can link it and download it and read it. It's 20 pages. It's pretty fascinating. And
thank you. Thank you.
So anyway, it looks like this. Okay.
As I mentioned at the start of our meeting, I have added a agenda item 6C, a couple of follow-up items from this morning. Mm-hmm. I wanted to reconfirm there was discussion on reviewing the questionnaire that will be used as part of the board's workshop. And I wanted to make clear for staff that the board does not need advance information or opportunity to edit the questionnaire. Am I correct, commissioners?
I think we did not agree to edit them in advance. I think if we wanted to edit them in advance, we would have to come back and agree on the edits since we only act as a body. So if we're willing to do that and take that time to come back, but I trust staff to come
up
with.
I trust them too, but I'm very interested to see how they're presenting the questionnaire. And I think it's our responsibility to make sure that the things that go out to the public provide the opportunity for them to really have input. And I know that there's this overall desire to keep everybody comfortable and happy in all of our communications. And that's good, but we also need to make them aware of things. So I just, I am very interested in things. I've created surveys myself. I've done surveying, and I'm just interested to look at it. I wouldn't necessarily need or want to make any edits.
We could certainly see it when it's posted on the website. I'm sure staff will tell us where it is on the website, and we can follow that. I don't have a need to review the questionnaire. I have full confidence in staff. Commissioner Logan, I believe this morning you said that you did not need to have opportunity to edit the questionnaire.
No, I don't. But I just say if we do agree to edit or allow one of us to edit, we really are going to have to come back in the next regular meeting and agree on the edits. So.
And how much time do you think that will take?
Yeah, well, it's not that. It'll delay the process. The meeting scheduled, which I know there's some urgency to get the meeting scheduled. So
there is, and I'm not requesting editing privileges. I just would like to see it. So, and I would like to see it before it goes to the public. But since you don't think that is our duty or our responsibility or even our right, I'll have to go with the majority.
Well, I don't think either of us said this wasn't our duty or our right. I just think we agreed not to edit it.
Well, I think we've come to a conclusion on this topic.
Right.
Topic I had from this morning's session, again, on our upcoming workshop, it more is a topic from the president that I think we got staff got a little bit out over their skis on this one. While I can see pluses and minuses in terms of the venue, but I want to communicate to staff that the board president needs to be consulted with up front, and the president will bring it to the board in terms of the need for a workshop. I believe Commissioner Logan mentioned that this morning, but I just want to leave that with staff on this topic and the responsibility of the president.
May I just ask for a clarification? We've had a number of other workshops, and I don't recall that they were at the request of the president of the board. Seemed to me that they came out of the need of the PUD.
Well,
somebody would have to go back and research that, but I never recalled hearing the president say, hey, I want to call a workshop on this.
I called a workshop to talk about the rate schedule change. That did not come from staff. So the workshop we had, it was before COVID when we made the decision to go to a fixed and variable rate. That was all me when I was president, because I thought we needed more information to make that decision.
Well, be that as it may, I'm just, during my term as president, I just wanted to communicate to staff. And then it's very important for me then to take it to my fellow commissioners. We just got a sync on this, and I'm sure that it won't happen again. Let's move on to agenda item 7A, our governance planning calendar. Let's go to planning. Do we have any comments on this?
I have none.
So no changes to the calendar. Melissa, do you have anything more to bring to before us this afternoon?
I do not.
Well, it is, what time is it? It is 2:15. Being there, no further business before the board, we are adjourned. And thank you all.